Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, where wealth strategies and investment wisdom collide, featuring your distinguished host and certified financial planner, Bart Zandbergen.
Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, a showcase for wealth strategies and investment wisdom that's essential for our evolving world. And I am so excited to be in studio today. I have a room full of wisdom. Starts with Paul.
Yes, always.
It may end there.
And I have with me today my partner, Letitia Burbaum. Letitia, hello.
Thank you.
And our distinguished guest, and shall we say, even, I know this has been debatable, but my longest time client, can we, I think we can say that?
We can, we should.
All right. Mr. Jim Weidner. I guess we just did. So, Jim, thanks for taking the time out of your busy day to join us here today.
Well, thank you, Bart. This is kind of a new experience. I'm looking forward to it.
Very good.
I didn't know you were a financial planner. I thought you were a sommelier.
So all those years. All right. Well, Jim has been kind enough to come on to the show, and what we're going to really discuss is Jim's transition from career professional CEO to the new world of, we're going to start with the word retirement, and Jim, you and I are going to dissect that word as we go on, because you are really anything far from the old definition of retirement, I think. If we think about that, we think of people maybe sitting on the couch watching TV, and I think that's the furthest from what you're doing these days. So let's start with a little more of an intro, Jim. I know that you've had a long, distinguished career. Tell us about how you even got started and how you ended up the CEO of an amazing insurance company.
Yeah, thanks, Bart. Thanks for having me. I was an insurance dude all my life, but that's not how life was supposed to start. I was a psychology major in college, and no, it wasn't from Miami of Ohio, by the way. I was a psychology major in college, and then I needed a job, and that wasn't going to pay much. So I took a position with Allstate Insurance Company back in Chicago, which is where I'm from. And that just kind of grew. So I did that for 7 years in the claim department and got picked up by another insurance company, CNA, got recruited by them and became the head of the property claim department. I was fairly young, too, but it was, and I kind of started up that department for the corporate offices of CNA and ended up in California because I was coming out here for a couple of months, according to them, to troubleshoot a claim department that needed help. And that was back in 1977. So the couple months stretched a bit. So I ran that for a bit, the claim department there, and then became an HR professional, of all things, for 3 years at CNA and was the head of the West Coast.
HR.
Human research. I know.
Wow.
They wanted multi-discipline experience before they made me a general manager, so they gave me this assignment.
Yeah.
And there's a real good story offline about how that all worked, because that's where I met Mary.
I was going to bring it up, but I wasn't sure if it was appropriate.
It's okay. The short version, as you know, is that she was the head of the HR for the Los Angeles office. I was for the West Coast, and she reported to me. And we hadn't gotten along when I started there because I was from home office, and I didn't need all this nonsense of filling out paperwork, and she didn't agree. So anyhow, it was...
I was going to make the comment that I know she loves you dearly today.
Today,
but I'm not sure that's right. It wasn't
that way at first. Anyhow, so I'm with CNA, and I move away to Phoenix. I'm general manager there for a few years, and then get rehired or hired back in California by a new company called Home Insurance Company, and was the general manager here in Orange County, the office in Tustin. And I ran that for about a year and a half, and then got promoted to regional vice president for Home, which is, again, where I inherited Mary, because she was she got hired the same day I did. We had no idea that that was happening, and she ended up working for
me
again.
She must have thought, oh my goodness, he's back.
How can we get rid of him? And then my job went away. This is an interesting part of my life, is my job went away with a home insurance company because we got bought by another insurance company, Zurich, and they didn't have the same structure. And so I was proverbially on the street. That never really happened. I got a kind of a year assignment where my assignment was to find a job. and home insurance company was nice enough to let me do all that and do some special stuff, special assignment stuff. But my job went away, and I was going to start a business that was going to be a consulting business, and that didn't happen at the very end because I got a call right when I was opening up my offices and I got my computers all working and I got the mailing list, and somebody asked me to interview for the Cooperative American Physicians. And I said, it's a little late. I've been looking for this for a year. And he just asked me if I would do this because I would make him look good. Great line. And I fell for it and interviewed, and then kind of said, well, this is an interesting place. If they do this for me and do that for me and do this for me, you know, maybe this is something I should do. And all of that happened. Yeah. So I got so very fortunate. And I spent 20 years working with the Cooperative American Physicians, which provides coverage now for some 14,000 physicians. When I started, it was 3,500.
So can you just take a moment? I don't think everyone knows what a cooperative is.
Yeah, what this organization does is it is a cooperative of doctors, and all these doctors are kind of co-owners of this, and they do lots of things. We provide different kinds of services for them, whether it be consulting services, or we owned our own insurance agency so we could provide other kinds of coverages. And then they set up in turn something called the Mutual Protection Trust. And that trust provided medical liability coverage for all of its members. And it's on an unlimited liability, unlimited accessibilities. That sounds very scary, but then we bought a lot of reinsurance in the marketplace, either from General Re and Warren Buffett at one time, and a lot of stuff from London. So it became a pretty successful organization. We got rated in my period by AM Best and got an A rating out of the box. And when I left, we were an A+.
Yeah,
which in fact. Wonderful. One of the very, very, very few medical professional liability carriers that have that rating. So that's what I did. And I served it for 20 years and graduated to the next phase of my life. And, yeah, I will take a little liberty about the idea of retirement. I think retirement, and pardon the pun, is an old paradigm. And it doesn't exist in the way that it did for our parents or our parents' parents. I don't think. I think you graduate to another chapter in your life. As you've heard me say, Bart, I'm busier now than I've ever been life.
Yeah.
And it's great. And I do a bunch of things that keep me busy. What I miss about having a corporate job and not having a corporate job.
Your assistant?
Is an assistant. Terribly. Because you end up doing a lot yourself that you didn't have to before. And it's very time consuming.
Yeah.
Well, I actually heard Mary say, Jim, I'm not an employee. Go find some employees to boss around.
I can't imagine Mary being my assistant. That isn't going to happen.
No.
But anyhow, so that's my story. I spent some 45 years in the insurance industry, and it was, as Sammy Sosa would say, was very, very good to me.
Very good. All right. So we spent a lot of time, you and I and Letitia, working together as you were getting ready and preparing and making sure you're financially set. And so that's certainly one part of retirement. And by the way, it is a different paradigm, and a term that Letitia and I like to use, as we've discussed, is called financial independence, which really, I think, is its different connotation, which is to say, what if, and you do some of this, Jim, if you want to do some philanthropic work, if you want to do some board work, but you know what, at the end of the day, you don't have to, you could go travel the world for a year or two, come back and be a golf pro if you wanted to. I guess if you're capable.
Yeah, if you're capable.
But anyway, with that said, so there's the financial aspect, but I think there's also kind of the emotional and personal aspect too. So what kind of things did you do to help in that area?
Well, much like a financial plan, and you know, and you and I have done these over the years, I also did a plan for life after the Cooperative American Physicians, and it's a plan. I was lucky enough to have a life coach toward the end of my career with the cooperative, and in fact, something they did for me. And my life coach and I worked for months.
When did you start using her with the planning process?
A good 9 months before.
So 9 months.
Yeah.
That's when you became aggressive about it.
I had used her before as a business coach while I was running the organization. But once we decided that, you know, that I was going to exit stage right in a number of months, then she and I concentrated on our plan for life after CAP.
Yeah.
And you know, when we looked at things like what would you find satisfaction in? What would you like to do if you had all the time in the world? Which, by the way, you don't have all the time in the world. But the idea of planning ahead, I think, is something that all of us should consider when we're thinking about the next phase. As I say, I don't think it's necessarily retirement, but it is the next phase. So I have the document. I have it on my iPhone, and I talk about learning about IT competency. That was one of the things I wanted to concentrate on because I didn't have it in the realm that I had to do it all myself. So now I had to learn, you know, how to set up some scanning stuff and, you know, and things like that. And then, you know, I play golf, so I wanted to be sure that I focused a little bit on what would I do if I wasn't working. And travel and education. I mentioned to you before. One of the things that was on my list is that I wanted to continue to develop and enrich myself in whatever subject came up. And I'm not disciplined enough to do the at-home DVDs of the great courses. I bought a bunch. I never looked at any of them. But I did want to...
You had good intentions.
I had great intentions. But I did want to learn, and I found something called, pardon the plug, but One Day University. And this thing turned out to be a gold mine for me because they have classes that you attend one day, and there's no tests and no homework. And they have star professors come, and the topics are cool. So, you know, we talk about, you know, what were the founding fathers thinking when they developed what we have here in the United States and things of that nature. So I think just like a financial plan, I think you got to plan what you're going to do next. Now, you're going to get sidetracked from that plan because
it evolves.
It evolves. Yeah. And there's always issues that family, you know, takes precedent over all this stuff,
and you get
involved in all that. But I think it's very much like a financial plan. I really do. Is that you've got to think about where you want to go with this.
It also strikes me as we talked a bit about this before the show, and as I was reviewing some of your notes, it's not much different in structure than something that we do while we're working. For example, I spend most of November, December kind of planning my next year, and I break it, you know, maybe by goals or things that I want to accomplish, business-wise, spiritual-wise, family-wise, health-wise, financially. And it looked like yours were broken down in very similar subjects, but the targets change a little bit, right?
Yeah.
There are things we do while we're working to obtain these maybe goals, and then things that we do when we're not working.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think from that perspective it's much different.
And I don't know that I'm that much different than a lot of your clients and listeners in that this phase isn't involving just doing things that you don't do when you're working. You probably still do a little work, quite frankly.
Yeah.
And I did serve on a board as soon as I got out of my gig at the cooperative, and I served on a board for an insurance company for several years until we sold it to a much larger company. So that was a cool experience, and you know, a couple dollars and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But you end up doing a lot of things differently. I mean, you get involved in charities. So I'm very involved with a charity in Chicago called the Chicago Sinfonietta, and an orchestra that is really dedicated to diversity, and both in genres of music and in the people we serve and what we do in the community. And that's taken a bunch of my time, and I love it. But it's still a job, quite frankly. There's deadlines, there's preparations, you got to do X, Y, Z.
Commitments.
Yeah.
Meetings.
And then, as you know, Bart, I then kind of got involved with a little venture capital stuff for a startup medical company. Right. So it's not a job, but it's work.
Sure.
Right. And it keeps you sharp.
But you enjoy it, don't you?
Leticia, it's very much like work. Some parts of it you enjoy, and some parts is, oh my God, do I really have to go to another committee meeting? Do I really have to go knock on another door to ask for capital contributions? So yeah, it's
pros and cons.
There's pros and cons, but it's something that you feel passionately about, and you want to do it.
I think the thing that Leticia and I hear most commonly, or more commonly from any of our retired people, are, I'd have no idea how I had time to work before.
Yeah. Well, and there's so much truth to that. And part of it truly is the lack of an assistant. You cannot underscore that more. But you know, there's so many things that happen. You get a little bit more involved with your family. So you probably go visit them if they're not here in California. You worry about them. You work with them. You help them stay where they're at. All that kind of stuff, and it's a big deal.
That's one of the things I wanted to ask you. And we're kind of flip flopping more to when you were working, but you have so many kids, and you've always
been... Whoa!
I was going to say no.
I didn't know you knew that.
this is going to be a compliment. I'm getting there.
Okay.
But it always appears to me that you've done such a great job with work-life balance. And just, do you have any tips for people? I mean, nothing's perfect. No family's perfect. I get that, and I know you've had your challenges. But overall, I just think you've done a really good job.
Well. Thanks. I don't know, and I'm sure not everybody would agree that I spent enough time with kids, but I think I've done a pretty good job, and you have to put that on your list. You have to put that on your plan, and I do.
Yeah.
I've tried to spend appropriate amount of time, but the same. You and I have talked about this from the financial plan, but I don't necessarily live for my kids. I want them to live for themselves, and I want to help them, and I do, and I want to plan for them for the future. But I'm planning to spend my money. I hope they're not they're not too eager. But we've set stuff aside to be sure that they're taken care of, and that's I feel good about that. Yeah. I feel good about the plan that you and I have put together over the years. So it's good.
So you woke up one morning about a year or so ago, and you no longer are employed. What did that feel like?
Well, it doesn't happen that way. You're planning this. You know that it's coming. You kind of ease yourself into it. I think you start not going in at 7 in the morning and stay until 7. You've got a COO that's picking up some of that responsibility, et cetera. I didn't find it, an earth-shattering experience that the next day, oh my God, now what am I going to do? Because I thought about it. I knew where I was going, and I kind of knew how the time was going to be filled up. I didn't know how much time. To your point, it becomes, holy mackerel, how could I have done this if I was working? And as you know, I have a bit of a need to spend time because my wife Mary has a cancer disease that requires a lot of treatment, and I couldn't have done all that I've been able to do for her if I was working. I wouldn't have time to do all the research and, you know, all that kind of stuff to help the process. But, you know, we're 12 years out from a diagnosis that said that she lived 2.5 years.
Yeah.
So something's gone right.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah, it is. It's,
this
it's
is an appropriate
cool.
word for the Jim Widener word, bravo.
Ah, we love that. Okay.
What sort of tips would you give to someone who is thinking about, hey, I'm going to retire in the next couple of years?
Well, I keep saying it, and I don't mean to be redundant or boring, but make a plan and figure out what turns you on. What can you do that you're going to find meaningful? And, you know, and it's not. I play golf twice a week if I can, and I make time for that. One of the things I learned, though, is that as you grow older, period, but before you retire, you need to start investing in friends, because that kind of network is what's going to be important when you don't have that work network.
Right.
I'm not saying friends at work. I got a lot of friends, but outside of work, because the people at work have their own lives to keep going and a company to run and all that stuff. And you really need to have a cadre of friends that, you know, that shares common interests, challenge you, you know, spend time with you, all that stuff. So I think that's a takeaway that I think we all ought to. And I keep doing that. I mean, I try to continue to invest in friends and network friends. We talked a little bit about at lunch. You're always networking in life. You don't stop when you don't have a 9-to-5 job anymore. You're always networking. The City Club has been very good to me, as I'm sure the Center Club has been to you. That's a important network and good thing to have.
Yeah. What would you say is your ultimate lesson learned in your career / transition into retirement?
Well, you know, I thought about that because I knew you'd ask that kind of question, and I think the ultimate thing for me has been you can will things to happen. You can make things happen because you want them to be, which really means that you get focused, you have drive, you look for the resources, you do what's necessary to make it happen.
I've seen you do that so many times.
But I'm absolutely convinced that that's the biggest thing that happened for me in my life, and it's what I try to pass on to my kids, is the self-confidence and confidence that you can make a difference is it's huge. It's huge. So that's, I guess, one of my big takeaways.
You never consulted with my wife, Tina, have you? Because she's not in business, but she can laser focus whatever she wants.
I have consulted with her. Lovely lady.
What are some of the... I wouldn't call it your guilty pleasures. You're doing a lot of fun things. You're traveling. You're going to shows. What's some of your top picks?
Well, lots of, certainly wine has been a big deal.
I love that about you, Jim.
Yes, I know you do.
You guys have that in common.
Yes. Finding what was supposed to be an investment that has turned into kind of a lifelong.
We've integrated into your portfolio as well. So we're satisfying all buckets here.
Yes, it is. And it's, you know, and it's returned wonderfully for me. It's been terrific. But there's been a lot of, you know, fulfillment in getting to know people in that business and enjoying really good food, really good wine, really good places. As you guys know, I'm about to go to my annual meeting for the hall wine that I'm involved in, and there's nothing better than the hall wine annual meeting, because we start at 9 o'clock in the morning tasting wine, then we look at the numbers, and
they have a good business sense.
And fortunately we've done well, but yeah, you know, that's certainly a guilty pleasure. I guess a guilty pleasure too is, you know, Mary and I invested in buying a new place in Chicago, and absolutely love it, and love the network of friends that we've developed there, and love a view from the 76th floor. It's awesome. So lots of those good things came to me, and So thank you, Bart, in helping us develop that financial independence that I always worry about. But nonetheless, you know, it feels good.
And that's this will be my last question for you today. But what is that what keeps you up at night thing?
Well, the short answer is the pain in my left arm has been bothering me. I've got some bursitis that needs a shot.
Well, Letitia gave the answer for that. It was a Thai massage.
Oh, but let's not go there. Nobody's standing on my arm. I think it's like everybody else. You have it, but you want to be able to assure that you can keep it.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, I'm pretty comfortable that what we've done over the years is developed a financial base that will outlast me. But, you know, what if it doesn't? You know, those kinds of things. Yeah. So you know that I'm a bit of a pest because I look at your platform every other day. And
Jim?
Yeah, you would like me to lose that app.
Planning, we love it, though.
But yeah, you. I think that's... And the other piece is your kids, their success, their happiness, their families, all that's huge. And then it's health. I mean, one of the best things that you can do for yourself before you retire is get healthy, stay healthy.
Yeah.
And that's not a God-given, and it's not a... You can work out all you want, and it may not equal being healthy, but you got to take every opportunity to be as healthy as you can be, and that does. It takes a dedication to...
Yeah.
Not 4:30 in the morning. I don't know what fool does that, but
exactly.
But you got to stay healthy. Crazy person. You got to work at it. You got to work at it.
Well, those are excellent tips and very common things that we've heard about as far as what keep people up at night. But I think you're addressing them, you know, just as you should. Before we close up, Letitia, anything you wanted to ask or add? Probably chomping at the bit.
No, so I think that you're so amazing, and with all the stories that you have to share, I'm so thankful for you to be on the air. I would like to actually ask the audience questions to say, if you are getting ready to retire and there's things that you feel like you're nervous about or scared about, you know, there's plans in place, like you've shared, that there's things that you can do ahead of time to prepare yourself to ease you into the next phase. And I think you've done it wonderfully. You didn't even share all the other amazing things that you're doing, that you're giving back and contributing and boards and all this fun, amazing things that you're participating in now that I think sometimes people are scared about, that you can, like, all the information that you've shared with us and we've seen other clients, that we can help other people. So...
Well, you know, one of the things that I would say to all that is, at the end of the day, this is as nice a chapter of my life than any of the other years I've lived. This
good
retirement is not to be feared. It's to be enjoyed and look forward to.
Yeah, that's a great closing comment.
Yeah.
All right, Tish, you want to give everyone the info on how to reach us? You're so good at.
Okay, so afterwards, I'm going to be actually showing Jim how to download our app, the Podbeam app, but also depends on what device you have. So now that I have an Android, it's not just an iTunes app, but anywhere that you can download podcasts and iHeartRadio. It's the Zambergen Report, and you can search it under Wealth Strategies and Investment Wisdom. You can look up Bart Zambergen or Letitia Burbaum, and you can look us up. Oh,
look. Will it look like that?
It will look like this.
Someone found it. Someone found it.
So he does have it. He does have access.
Yes.
So fun.
So now I got to look at you. I know.
Now you got to listen. Be a regular.
Committed. All right. I want to thank Jim. Thanks so much for coming in, taking time out of your day. This was a real treat.
Yeah.
Paul, Letitia, thanks for joining us today.
Whoa. Paul hasn't said a word.
I know,
I've listened to several of the podcasts. This is impossible.
Is impossible. When Letitia's here, there is no room to jump in here.
That's not fair.
No, it's not true. You know what? I will say this. I'm sitting here in envy because I think you've lived a life well lived.
Yeah.
And I think that the fact that you're facing this next chapter unafraid, secure, and excited at the opportunity speaks a lot. Really. It's very inspirational.
Paul, that's very nice of you. Thank you.
Yeah. I usually try and be, you know, smug or say something clever, but I just had to say that
you
really
just went for the truth this time.
Yeah.
Very good.
Sweet. It'll set you free.
Thank you, everyone who has tuned in. We look forward to being in studio next week. Cheers.
Tune in next week for the latest edition of the Zandbergen Report, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Catch up on our recent shows by visiting bartzandbergen.podbean.com. The Zandbergen Report is also available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Interested in being a featured guest on our show or have a question you'd like to hear us answer? Email podcast@bartzandbergen.com. Bart A. Zandbergen, CFP, and Letitia Burbaum, AIF, are registered investment advisors with Optivest, Inc., and registered representatives with Gramercy Securities, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered by Optivest, Inc. under SEC registration.